because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning out there, folks. If you're anything like me, you're a little bit messed up here on what day is it? What day is it? Is this Friday? Is this Tuesday? What day is it? With all these holidays thrown in, especially the holidays thrown in the middle of the week, I think this is Thursday, isn't it? I think so. Yeah, I know it is. I look down. It's Thursday. Well, welcome. Welcome here on Thursday. Man, I just got a great anticipation about 2020. I got this real quick. Listen, this is important. All your documents. Okay, listen to me now. Everything that you sign, like you sign a check, one or two, 2020, whatever. Listen, don't just sign in 20. You know how you do that? 1, 19, and then the year, 20. Don't do that. Too easy to add on to 20. In other words, you could go 1, 19, and you sign 20, and then somebody takes that document and puts 19 on the end of the 20, and they misdated it. So it's just one thing, just to be make sure that when you're doing that, you're putting in 2020 on your checks, whatever it is you're signing. Not that that matters, but somebody said that to me. I thought, you know that? That makes a little bit of sense. I'm going to call on Robert Klaus. I didn't even check see if he's in here today. My wife scolded me yesterday. Yeah, he's in there. Said, you didn't let Robert read his first one. So, Robert, you get ready. This is going to keep me on track today. I'm going to let you read yesterday and today's devotional here in just a second. Just a second. Can I ask a question here? Which direction do we want to go? I'm going to try to give you a show today of some information, a variety show, if you will, like the Smothers Brothers, a lot of different topics. I want to try to, rather than going real in depth with any one topic, I want to try to hit you with a couple different ones that I think maybe going to make you think, maybe going to pique your interest. Of course, at the base of it's the scripture. Let me make this point. I was thinking about this just before I came down. What if we didn't have the Bible? What if we didn't have the Bible? Now, by that I mean, what if we were just living this life without any prophetic unction or understanding about the times in which we lived? Would we be living our lives differently? If we didn't have the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation, the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ, we didn't have several of these other what they call prophetic books. If you were just raised as a godly, moral Christian without the end time prophetic parts of the Bible, would you be living the way you're living? In other words, Would we be allowing the tomfoolery, foolishness to be going on that we're allowing to go on today if we weren't looking at the prophetic times in which we live? You say, well, Coach, that's impossible. How can we not look at the prophetic times? Well, we probably could. I got something I'm going to share with you today. I dug up one of those nuggets that's just going to blow your mind. And what I say on the show a lot of times, we believe a lot of stuff that isn't true, and there's a lot of stuff that's true that we don't believe. And we've been spoon-fed tradition. What did Jesus warn us of? He teaches commandments, the doctrines of men, making the word of God of none effect. And what is tradition? See, here is what's really got us in the bind that we're in, I think. The greatest blessing, one of the greatest blessings, and one of the greatest curses that's ever hit the American, ever hit us, all of us, is the information age. It's one of the blessings and one of the curses. We have instantaneous information. Because we have instantaneous information, we don't study things in depth as we need to. We brush over some things that are really, really... Let me see. What's going on? Hang on a minute. Was there internet back in the days of the birth of Jesus? Was there internet? Were there typewriters? When we look at these 66 books of the Bible in front of me, are there any recordings that these things are actually said? I'm not questioning the Bible. Okay, that's all I'm trying to do here. As opposed to, imagine being born into this information age. My grandchildren, all they know is this thing. They know that's from the time they've been alive is this thing. And I thought back to, as I talked a little bit about yesterday, the old Y2K, it wasn't even Facebook 20 years ago. It wasn't 5G. There wasn't artificial intelligence, at least not to the degree that it was in, right? So where are you going, Coach? Here's where I'm going. We often forget the environment in which the folks in the Bible that we read lived. How could you live in, pick a town, how could you live in Jerusalem, the average person now, how could you live in Jerusalem and understand what was going on in Rome? The average person. Was there a newspaper? Was information delivered to them instantaneous like we do? Hit, boom, there it is. No. So how was information relayed? In fact, how was information relayed really when I was born, 1952 when I was born? How was information relayed? Well, extra, read all about it. Extra, what? What was that? Well, they'd print a special newspaper to get out immediate news to you. But otherwise, the news came to you very, very slowly. It might be weeks. I wonder how long, really, the Civil War was going on before people in the North knew it, before people in Ohio really knew it. Now, some knew it, but how long did that take, that whole process of the Civil War? How did news of Gettysburg spread? How did people, Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, how did people down in Columbia, South Carolina, get news about what was going on in Gettysburg, or the Battle of Bull Run? Or shit, just as bad, the First World War. How did we get communication about what was going on? So we are all products or victims of information. All of us are. We don't appreciate it anymore, see? So that, my friends, is how we get to the point where we do what? Teach as commandments the doctrines of men. In other words, traditions. There's nothing wrong with traditions. Hank, why do you drink? Why do you roll smoke? Why do you live out those songs that you wrote? I'm just carrying on the old family tradition. There's nothing wrong with traditions. There's no tradition. Nothing wrong with traditions. But folks, you have to understand the traditions aren't necessarily historical. And history is not necessarily what's told in your traditions. They're not the same. And so we are immersed in instantaneous information. Boom. You remember, some of you have a college degree. It doesn't matter. You've all done some type of research, even when you were in high school. And remember when you used to go to the library to do some research and you got out your card catalog and you remember that? And you got your pencil and you wrote, you wanted to find an article on, let's say you wanted to find an article on Christmas. So you went to the card catalog and everything, and you wrote it down on a piece of paper. Then you went someplace on the library and you reached up and you pulled a book out and you read that. Remember those days? Remember those days? That's how you did research papers. Now research papers are instantaneous. You Google it, you do it, boom, it's there. Information. We're in an information age. So what do you mean? I'm going to get there, I promise you. We've lost total understanding of the times in which the people living out the Bible lived. In fact, it's true of all history. It's true of all history. Do you have any idea in 1776, and when, what was it, April 17th, 1776, the shot heard around the world? Right? Isn't that when it was? April 16th, I think, 1776, when the shot heard around the world was fired at Lexington Green. How long did that take for people to know that had happened? They called it the shot that heard around the world. And can you imagine the disinformation that was spread with that when people were telling those people, hey, did you hear what's going on up there in Boston? Can you imagine the disinformation that was spread all down through here, through Hebron, Ohio, and to Columbus, and the disinformation down there where OJ is living down in Kentucky? Word spread very, very slowly. We're not in that age. But the point is this. Could my dad even live in this age? My dad's been dead since 2003. Could my dad even survive in this world we live in today? You know something? Listen, think here with me a second. All of you, think about your father, your daddy, everybody listening here right now, and your daddy. You think your dad ever in his life saw pornography? Think about that a minute. Did my dad ever in his life see pornography? Now, if he did, he got it from somebody he had to sneak it from. Somebody had some old smutty book or smutty magazine and they passed around pictures. I remember the first time I was a sophomore in high school and one of my friends brought Gary Houston, if you're out there, Gary. Gary brought in a little bag. He got us all in the bathroom, and he pulled out these porn pictures. I've never seen anything like it. I was 16 years old. I never had seen anything like it, these porn pictures that he had gotten somewhere. And we were all in the bathroom, and we were looking at these porn pictures. And I was thinking today about the scourge of pornography and how pornography is. Your parents didn't struggle with that, folks. They didn't struggle with that. Your grandfather did not struggle with pornography. Your grandfather, your daddy, didn't lust after women the way that it's given to us 24 hours a day. It's everywhere, right? So we have to understand that when we read the Bible or when we lose sight of the times in which it was written, we can't relate. Much like if my dad were to come down here right now, he could not relate. He just couldn't relate. We had the old buck saw. Anybody else ever had that buck saw where you sawed wood? That real long saw? We saw back and forth. I cut my firewood with my dad. We didn't have that. We didn't have those chainsaws. They're buck saws. In fact, we had what was called a saw buck. We had a saw buck. We laid the log down and then we cut. Remember that? And so because of that, we understand the times in which we live. But just as importantly, we've forgotten the times in which they lived. Hebrews 11, Jared, I want to go there real quick. Robert, I'm going to bring you in here a second. I'm going to Mark Trump, of all the things that Mark Trump has done for me in my life, and I appreciate, listen, I beat up on folks yesterday. I appreciate some of you guys so much. You just don't even know how much, what an encouragement you are to me and what an encouragement you are to others. And I'm just so appreciative. And I spent yesterday banging, whining and moaning about who wasn't here. And I got to focus on who here is here. God bless you guys. But Mark Trump taught me this more than of all the things that Mark's made me think about. Mark said, Coach, you got to read deep. You can't read linearly. You have to read the Bible deep, deep. That was really something, man. I always tried to, but it changes your perspective. Jared, do you have Hebrews 11? Robert, I haven't forgotten you. Hebrews 11.
Hey, Coach, that was from the Spirit. That was from the Spirit. To this day, you know, I remember when it happened, but it wasn't a conscious thing. And I think we both learned from it. And I humble myself to that teaching through Jesus. And
amen.
Praise
amen.
God.
Amen. That's right. And it's opened my eyes, right? So I was just thinking today, as I got some stuff I want to share with you here, I'm in Hebrews chapter 11. because it's so easy for us to just, you know, they say, well, I read through the Bible once a year. I read through the Bible. Oh, good. God bless you. Do you read deep or you just read page to page? Do you read and ask yourself questions as you read? For instance, here we go. Hebrews 11, the Faith Hall of Fame. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, I could stop right there and I could talk all day on what? Substance, evidence, things not seen. We could discuss all of those things just out of that one sentence, although I'm not going to do that. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. What was that report that they obtained? The elders retained. What was that report that they... Whose report were you believe? What was the report the elders obtained? I don't know what it was. I don't know, but it was a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. How do we understand that? They didn't have evolution. How did they understand the world was framed? How did they understand it? It says through faith, we understand. And we read that today and we don't understand. But they just the simplicity looking around. We understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And then by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there? Abel really lived? Wouldn't you have loved to be peeking over his shoulder? Abel's shoulder? And he offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain?
Coach.
Yeah.
Wonder if they both got a trophy for participation.
Well, that's a little bit later. That's a little bit later in the story, isn't it? Huh? sacrificing Cain by which he obtained witness. Who are those witnesses? He obtained witnesses that he was righteous. Who was righteous? Abel was righteous, right? God testifying to his gifts. How did God testify to his gifts? We're talking about some guy living out in a cave somewhere. Aren't we? And by it, he being dead yet speaks. Then by faith, Enoch was translated. What? He was translated. He would not see death. What was that? Would like to have been there, wouldn't you? Like to have been there. Can somebody tell me what that looked like? What that happened when Enoch was translated? Wow. It says, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. I'd love to hear that testimony. God, I'd love to hear Enoch's testimony about how he pleased God. Wouldn't you like to hear it? What did that even mean to please God back in those days? No porn, no Facebook, no YouTube, no instant this, no that. Somehow Enoch. And by faith, it is impossible to please him. You don't even have to have, it's so hard. In this information, now listen, I'm talking about the people we deal with every day. I had the most unbelievable time yesterday. Just bear with me. I think I can say this. My brother, two years older than me, my brother Dan, got rushed to the hospital over the weekend. He has a lot of medical issues, but he's having some kidney issues. And so Michelle and I went and visited him yesterday at the hospital. he'll survive, but he has a lot of medical issues. And I had for the first time to be able, he just laying there, so he had to listen. And I took him through. I said, Dan, come on, man. We're both raised Catholic. And I started, I just started asking him some things. You know, you understand that you're not a body. You understand that you're a soul. And He's 69 years old, right? I'm not talking to some little kid. You understand that you're a spirit who lives in a body, you possess a soul, and your body's breaking down, and you're not going to remain in that body, but you're going to leave here. And what is your soul? Did you know what your soul is? And of course, he didn't know what his soul is. And how do you get to heaven? The same Catholic tradition we came out of. It was one of the most remarkable things that I was able to. He never wants to hear, yet he sat there and he listened. He listened. And that deep, deep, deep older religious training that we had had when I was 9 and he was 11 and Dad made us go to catechism, see, that was still in him. It's still in him. But he doesn't have an understanding of it. Doesn't have it. Doesn't get it. Because we haven't made it relevant to where we live today. know, and so many things that we read in the Bible are so hard for us to understand because we take out of the time in which it was written. We don't understand how primitive the time in which they were written. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh must believe that he is, that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. For by faith, Noah being warned of God, things not... How did he get warned? How did Noah get warned? When you, somebody like to tell me that, is there a video of that? That Noah getting warned of God of things not seen as yet? And it moved him with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. And by faith, Abraham, when they called him out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went, wouldn't you? I'd like to hear that story. What's going through Abraham's mind as he's arguing with everybody? Should I do this? Should I not do this? Should I go here? Should I not go here? What should... Come on, man. This isn't just words on a book. This is a deep, 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 deep data mine. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, and as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob. What would that? What were the tabernacles? How did they make them? Whose idea was it? Who put it together? Where did they learn how to do it? Where did Isaac and Jacob, the heirs, they were with him? For he looked for a city which had foundations, his builder and maker. And then through faith, also Sarah, she received strength to conceive at 80. What? What was that like? This is sound sacrilegious. Was Abraham still doing her at 80? What? Man, a lot of data here. Right? So what, Coach, what are you saying? I think a lot of times we live in such this fast-paced world that we don't appreciate the very time and moment in which we live and how we take the environment that we live in. We take the principles of the Bible and apply it in the environment in which we live and understand that the environment in which we live is not the environment in which the book was written. It's not the environment in which my daddy grew up. It's not the environment in which George Washington grew up. It's not the environment in which John Calvin grew up. It's not the environment in which Moses grew up. The environment, the circumstances change, but the word is eternal and effective through all generations. And because we don't, how do I say this? Because we are incapable of putting ourselves in that situation, in that time, we modernize. We try to modernize the gospel. I'm going to pause a minute. Anybody have a response to that?
Think of the environment when George Washington put that obelisk on top of Sky High compared to now.
My goodness. Huh? Think Joseph, as we know, traveling. He was trying to find a pathway to the ocean from Detroit, Michigan. Folks, how many nights was he out in a tent and it rained? And how did they keep record of it? They couldn't go to the court records. They couldn't go to Google. How did these guys do this stuff?
Hey, Coach. And
here we are in the information age and we don't appreciate all this data around us. Go ahead, Larry.
You know, there's too many people that their quasi-connection with God is a result of their own self-perception of their position in life instead of their position in life being a result of their connection with God.
In fact, that's so good. Say that again, Larry.
There are too many people that their connection with God is a result of their position and their self-realization of who they think they're supposed to be, rather than their position being a result of their connection with God.
Amen. Amen. And so because we can only live in which the time in which we live, do you ever sit down at your grandpa's knee and let them tell stories about how they used to cut wood or how they used to pick the corn? My mom would tell me about, they were so poor during the Depression, she would tell me that when they'd get up in the morning, Christmas morning, there would be an orange and an apple under the tree. And my mom said they never got fresh fruit. And that she would sit under, they would sit under and they would actually eat the peel. They would actually tear off the inside of that peel. They would appreciate every bite from that orange. And to think that out of that lineage, I sprang. And you look back, I look up back on my mom. No wonder she hoarded everything. No wonder my dad, he was a child of the Depression. No wonder he hoarded everything and wouldn't want to spend anything and wouldn't take a risk. Look what they had climbed out of. And they didn't want to go back into that. So what would it be back even further? What would it be like? What would it be like? What would it have been like? What would you have done if you were standing there at the trial of Jesus? What if you were there? And give us Barabbas! What would you have been yelling? What was that environment? What influenced people? There was no mass media.
Coach, this is brilliant. This is brilliant, Coach.
Thanks.
What you're doing, you're taking us back to the basics, fundamentals of how to interpret scripture. And context is everything.
Everything.
It's everything, Coach. If we take it out of context, we can't build any further. We're done. And we've done it for years. We have taken it out of context, and we're building a building that's about falling over because we've laid so many false premises.
That's right. False foundations, right? False foundations. And remember this. Where is it, Lord? That we are called to tear down, to build, right? Where is that? Does anybody know off the top of their head where that is? We were called the restorers of the breach, the restorers of paths to dwell in. That we're going to tear down and build up. I can't believe I can't think of that scripture. But we will tear down the old waste places. We'll get rid of all those old traditions that really, really didn't have anything to do with it. We'll go in and we'll be called known as the restorers of the repairers of the breach. The restorers of paths to dwell in. That you want to look for, Jared. Restorers of the breach. Repairers of the breach. Restorers of paths to dwell in.
Isaiah 58:12, Coach.
Thank you, Dale. I couldn't find it, man. Isaiah 58:12. Isaiah 58:12. See, we're in a constant, ever-changing environment, situation, knowledge, medicine, constantly changing. Except the Lord says, I change not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. But your environment's going to change. How did pornography get legal? How did that get legal? How did we get to the point now where my grandson can find it? On my phone. Under the lie of free speech. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, verse 11. And satisfy the soul in drought. Make fat your bones. And you shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters don't fail. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Who? Those that shall be of me. My children. My children. They shall raise up the foundations of many generations. How many generations is it from Coach Dave to Noah? How many generations is that? And what does it say that they're going to do? They're going to raise up the foundations of many generations. And what shall they be called? The repairers of the breach. The restorers of paths to dwell in. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Not looking for the end. Oh, my goodness.
Amen, Coach.
Hey, Coach, I'm working on a book on how to interpret scripture, and there's about four or five rules. It's hermeneutics, so everybody knows this, right? But the biggest one is context. If you take something out of context or you don't understand it, you can't go forward.
That's right.
You're in the water. You're just lost as can be, Coach. And we've got to get back to it's called integrity, interpreting the scriptures with integrity. Mm-hmm. Everyone can interpret, but if you don't discipline yourself and say, I will not interpret it until I know what it means in context, we've come up with so many crazy ideas. That's why we've got a million denominations and we're so divided.
Because hey,
Randy, of integrity.
Randy, text out of context is nothing but a pretext.
Yes.
Hey, Randy, I don't, it's probably already in your book, but a whole new Christian life opened up for me when I realized that you have to study scripture using Boolean logic. And I mean, if A is equal to B and B is equal to C, then A is equal to C. You've got to use that kind of logic when you study scripture, because that reveals truth that has been hidden and lied about in our American Western church for decades.
Amen, Larry. And one of the points I think is so important that I'm trying to make here, this isn't my dad's America. This is not my dad's country. My dad and his generation fought for this country, but this isn't the country they fought for. This isn't it. Heaven, you think those guys stormed Omaha Beach and laid down their lives so that we could have pornography on the internet? Really? That those guys fought and died so that we could murder our children? Really? That those men fought and died so that a man could turn into a woman or train little boys that they are in fact little? Really?
Hey, Coach,
remember the show that our dad grew up with? One of them shows, it was called The Twilight Zone. And if they were to come back from the dead, they'd go, I am in the Twilight Zone. This is not real.
I'm telling you, Dale, my dad's been dead 15 years. It isn't that long? Boys, it ain't that long ago. Somebody else.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
What's happened here is they've used the Constitution and without the Bible, and they've used it against us.
Yep.
So that's where that's what's happened here.
That's exactly what it is. See,
because
don't lose context, right? What's going on right now? It seems like a long time because it's our life, but this is a very short window. We are in a very short window from 1950 to 2070 years. It seems like a long time. It's a very short window. Very, very short. And as quickly as the culture turned one way, folks, it could turn another. But we won't try to restore those old foundations. Why? Because we think we're out of here.
Thank you, Coach.
Yeah.
It's farther than that. 1931, we had the production code. 1965, it got removed. 1962, they took Bibles out of schools. Nature abhors a vacuum. What do you think is going to happen when you take God out of those things? It's replaced by Apollyon, the destroyer.
But Vinny, it goes even deeper than that. It goes back to 1913 when they came up with the ungodly income tax system.
Amen,
and all that.
Brother.
It just goes on and on and on and on. So what are we called to be? Well, we shall be those of thee that shall build the old waste places. We're going to rebuild those old places. And we're going to raise up the foundations of many generations. And we're going to be called the repairer of the breach, the restorers of paths to dwell. It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. See, the Bible teaches us this, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. My eyes have not seen, my ears have not heard, neither has it even entered in my heart the things that God has in store for those who love him, and we don't believe not one bit of it. We believe we're going down. We're going down. Now, you know what? I'm going to believe we're going over, and then if we go down, I'm going to trust in the Lord. But the truth is, there's not one Christian out of a thousand will fight anything. The whole Bible is about fighting, folks. The whole Bible, chapter 11 of Hebrews, is all about fighting, man. It's all about
Coach, here's the dilemma. Here's the dilemma, Coach. This is the question everyone, I have to ask, you have to ask, we all do, to be honest and have integrity right here today in real time. If this is the two questions, if the church has interpreted a bunch of material out of line and it's wrong and we have a bunch of false premises, how in the world can we proceed any farther? If it's wrong, you can't keep building on it. It can't go forward. So folks, this is what I've done. I question everything I've been taught. I go back and I challenge it and I prove it again. We can't go forward on false premises. We have to find the truth. That if it's the tradition, let it be the tradition. If it's the tradition's wrong, let's get rid of it.
Amen. So let me throw this out there, because I don't have time and I'm not going to do it now. Okay, I'm just going to wet your whistle. You guys know who the Magi were? Christmas is over now. I feel like I can talk about it. Because we three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We traversed afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain. You know the song, right? You know the song. Well, let me ask you something. Who were the three kings? And, time out, were there really just three of them? And why do we call them three kings and wise men when you dig into the Bible, you find out they called them magi? Hang on. See, I'm trying to take you back into the time in which it happened, the time in which the birth of Jesus occurred, what was going on, what was the world like. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have Facebook. They didn't have Twitter. They didn't have any of that stuff. And how did they figure out what was going on? Well, some of them watched the stars. And who do you suppose they were? Why, them be magi. Magic. Magi. Sit down, relax. Just sit down, man. I know this. Every Christmas carol you ever had is about to go out the window. Every Christmas carol you ever had. Because the Magi, I'll get to it tomorrow. The Magi were the Parthians. You say, well, what? Yeah, the Parthians. You've heard of the Parthians, haven't you? Well, no. Who were the Parthians? Esther, Michelle, who are the Parthians? We three kings of Orient are of Orient. We three kings of Orient. Who are the Magi? Where are these kings? Where did these wise men come from? Who called these guys wise? Kings? They brought what? Three of them? None of that's true. See, if we go back to the context. They were Parthians. Parthians. Are you kidding me? Bitter enemies of Rome. And when following the stars, the Magi, following the stars, the North Star, knew from watching the stars something was about to happen, so they made their way to Bethlehem. Why? Because the Magi told them, look, something's happening here in the stars. Are you ready? Herod, if you remember, when he found out about the birth of Jesus, had every child under the age of, what was it, 2 years old? Every male child killed? I thought, why would he do that? Why would Herod do that? Well, if we understood the context of it, we would understand that the Parthians, that Herod the Great, Herod was worried about the Parthians coming in and invading and taking over the territory once again. And so the Parthians, hey, boys and girls, just do your research. I got it right here. The Parthians, the Magi, they didn't come in three. They came in hordes. Thousands of them came into the city of David.
That's true, Coach. That's why even the people were concerned about it. Not only
that's
Herod.
Right. It was an invasion. It was an invasion when this Christ child was born. They were afraid. Herod was afraid somebody was going to take his kingdom. Jesus was born in the midst of war. Isn't that something? And we think these are whole. The Magi, do your research. The Magi were probably, what do they say, Zoroastrians? They weren't Jews. They weren't Christ. They were stargazers. Oh, I gotta catch my breath. I'm not gonna go there. Maybe tomorrow I'll get into it more.
Hey, and Coach.
Hang on a second. When you look at the Christian tradition, we do with the three wise men as if they were Christian men coming to honoring their king, and that is totally not the story. Go ahead, Glenn.
Well, you know, let's connect the dots. So now what we have is we have a church, okay, that is just talking about the Bible like it's a book to help you get through life. They don't even discuss cultural issues anymore.
No.
In the light of everything that's going on in our culture, there's never any mention of it.
Ever. Hey, Glenn, this makes people nervous. Right-wing watch, it'll make them nervous. You know, slavery is approved of in the Bible. You know that? It's hard for us to swallow. It's in there. It is. There's a lot of things. Do you understand? I got some really great emails on this one yesterday, 2 days ago, 3 days ago. You know, separation is in the Bible. Not, what's the word I'm looking for? Not melding. Not bringing everybody together. See, when the United States in particular, this be doing my history. The United States was like something that had never, ever happened before because they brought different ethnicities and came in and tried to make one country off of a common shared sense of values. Not German, not Italian, not French, not Chinese, no, American. A blending together of all these different people where the Bible had always kept separate. All these people now come to America, and what do? They begin to blend together on their common religious heritage.
Right, it Coach, is, we're not.
If we don't maintain America as a Christian nation, folks, we have no foundation upon which to stand.
Amen, Coach. We're not a nation of immigrants. You can say I said that, not Coach Free.
Coach, it's multiculturalism without Christ is what the world wants to push. But it only works through Christ. That's the only one historically. That's the only one that has ever worked.
Oh no! We have to coexist.
I'm sorry.
We have to coexist.
Yeah, we do. No, we don't see. It's like I heard somebody say the other day. They said, "Well, what about the indigenous people?" Said, well, I'm an indigenous people. What do you mean? I'm indigenous. Hey, Jared, look that up real quick. Indigenous. Because we're taught, what does indigenous mean? What's indigenous? Come on. What's indigenous? Well, that was the Indians.
Right? Oh, native. Native, Coach. Native.
I'm indigenous. I'm indigenous, folks.
You're indigenous.
Native, born in a country, applied to persons, native, produced naturally in a country or climate, not exotic. You are an indigenous person. Vinny, you're indigenous. Trump, you're indigenous. Jared, you're indigenous. It isn't an Indian. See what they've done to us? Why are you indigenous? Because you were native born in this country. Obama is indigenous.
Hey, Coach, it's the same thing they've done with all the words. They've taken control of the words and they control the debate.
It's everywhere,
and we
right?
fall for it every time.
But why? Why do my people perish? Why do they perish? For lack of knowledge, right?
Amen, and Coach.
Some of you right now are having a mic drop moment. So my goodness, I never thought of it that way. And what are they teaching our people in school? Why the indigenous people, the Indians. Because they think Indians and indigenous, they think those are root words, right? You're indigenous. I'm indigenous. Little David's indigenous. Macy, me, they're indigenous. Always will be. We're indigenous people, folks.
You know, you talk about words. I don't know how many people caught the news, but the word of the year for 2019, according to the Merriam-Webster people, the people that published that dictionary, the word of the year is they, T-H-E-Y. But see, they've taken the word they and they have changed it because they make it singular non-gender, not plural. They make it a singular non-gender pronoun. They have taken a common word and totally changed its meaning in order to push their faggot agenda.
That's it, Larry. That's it. And change the words, change the world. I got a video on that to talk about. I got so much more. I got a fabulous video. I don't know how to make this available to you. We're still going to go to Richmond. I got a great video. It's about 40 minutes long. It's really good about how to prepare to go into an environment that we're getting ready to go into. I'm going to save that one for tomorrow. I'm going to let Robert get in here and read in just a second. I have three unbelievable things on the Magi, the Parthians. Chuck Missler. I have a great presentation by Chuck Missler on what I told you about the Magi and who they really were, and that the Magi and the Parthians were at war against the Romans. That's why Herod had oh my goodness. And we're just told fairy tales. We're told fairy tales because why? We don't put ourselves back into the time in which it was written.
We're ignorant of history, Coach.
We are very ignorant of history. Very, very. In fact, I got to confess, Randy, I had to go Google Parthians. I didn't know who they were. Jared, Google them. Parthians.
Coach, guess what? You know this. Parthians were there on the day of Pentecost.
Yes, sir. It's old Persia. Jared, click on the map. On that. You ever heard of Parthia? You ever? I felt so stupid when I began to do research on it. Look what they conquered. But see, at the time, if you were living in Bethlehem of Judea at that time, and you heard the Parthians were coming, it'd be like saying the Russians are coming, the Chinese are coming. Oh, no! But we don't get it, right? We think it's about a little babe wrapped in swaddling clothes with a North Star over the top. Oh, my goodness. We don't understand the social consequences that the Lord stirred. Social, geopolitical environment that he placed that Christ child in. That is unbelievable, man. Right in the midst of all that turmoil, he stuck him. Boom. Woo. Hey, Trump, this is deep. This is deep. Wow. Robert, come on in here, man. Come on in here. I want you to know this, folks. I'm more deeply committed Christian than I've ever been in any part of my life. The more deeply I dig into some of these lies, the stronger my faith becomes. Because we don't understand how hard it was to get that Christ child here.
Amen, Coach.
Golly. We don't get it.
Coach, let me say this before Robert. It's just a second. Paul said that gospel was preached to the entire world, to every creature under heaven in Colossians 1. Guess how? Guess how it happened, Coach? If you read Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, it says, now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. They received the Holy Spirit, Coach. They went back to Parthia. They went back to Mede. They went to the whole world, the known world, and they took the gospel.
Yep, they did.
That's how it happened, Coach.
It was the ultimate multiculturalism, wasn't it, Randy?
It's context. It's context, Coach.
And he plucked Jesus right in the middle of it. Powerful. Robert, I'm going to give you 2 days here. I don't mean I'm going to give you 2 days. I should have read it yesterday. In fact, Michelle kicked me one up. But didn't that Bible read the thing? So it was important on January 1st. And I'm going to give you the floor here, brother, and you read both.
Okay. Coach, I liked what you said initially about need to dig into the Word. You know, pastors today dig into your pockets. They don't dig into the Word. Here's the commentary. I pull it off the shelf. Okay, this was written in 1653. It's on the 24 verses of Jude by this reverend who only had a master's degree, but it's 380 pages, okay? And it's like a double column, 76 lines, double column, digging into the Word on the 24 verses of the Bible, the Epistle of Jude. That's what they did back in 1653. Now we download. Now we download our sermon.
That's right.
Incredible.
It is. And so the time means everything, doesn't it?
Yeah. See,
we have so much at our fingertips with which we can win, and we ain't even winning, see?
The next thing you know, we got redefined church, and we've redefined the cross. But well, I'll get with this January 1st. It's like Randy was saying, we have to take this out to the world. To exist and leave earth with this dirt is no dread for those who are prepared to enter heaven with this glory.
Amen. Amen.
It says, are we to stay within the four walls or go to the four corners? You know, we need to go out. A church may quickly be built by market-driven strategies, church growth principles, and downloaded spirituality, and rest on the foundation of institutional religion. But when Satan's winds begin to blow and God's judging quakes begin to rumble, the man-made church will quickly crumble back to rubble.
Hmm.
You may be in the church built, but are you in Christ? Are you in the church he is building? The true church is built with living stones who are ignited.
Mm-hmm.
Living stones who are ignited by love of God, love for God, united by the Lord, and empowered by the Holy Spirit. The real temple of God is not a pile of dead bricks and old mortar hiding behind four walls, stationary on the street corner. Rather, it is a living temple of God taking the gospel to the four corners. In the day when God haters, you'll like this. In the day when God haters laugh, the proud strut about, the liberals lie, the religious kill, the depraved pervert, judges malpractice, preachers entertain, and prophets deceive, it's nice to know that the day is soon coming when the great judge, king, prophet, shepherd, and ruler, the Lord Jesus Christ, will return to have the last laugh, declare the last verdict, set the record straight, exalt the humble, reward the holy, and will be glorified amidst his own.
Mm, amen, amen.
Yeah, so we need to
hang on there real quickly, Robert. Jared, go to Hebrews 11. I know you already have it. Hang on, Robert, then we'll go to January 2nd. Jared, go to the very last verse. Because Robert just ran through the whole thing from the beginning to the end, right? I want you to stay right. Look right here. Don't ever miss this, folks. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, they just went through the Faith Hall of Fame, told us all. They didn't tell us who these people were, didn't give us their names, but told us what had happened in their time, in the moment that they were here, when opportunity came knocking on their door, before the internet, before Facebook. He told us all these things these people went through. And then the most profound statement of all is right here. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, they didn't get the reward. They didn't get the promise. Why? Because God, having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. We're part of 2020. We're part of 1 AD. We're connected. And they are waiting for us to run our race and do our job. They cannot be made perfect till we finish our course. Well, that's profound. January 2nd, Robert.
January 2nd.
Sitting on the couch, studying Bible prophecy, looking at the stars and Israel, everything's going to happen. And all the way around us, we're supposed to be actively involved, making a difference. Because those who lived through that mess, they're waiting on us to get this thing finished. Instead, we're reading the stars. We're the Magi. Go ahead.
That's right. We've got something better for us. That's to ascend and be the church. It doesn't says
It doesn't say better for us. That scripture says better for them.
Mm-hmm.
Better for them. They're waiting on us to finish our course.
That's true. They're waiting for us to rise up. How much better it is to ascend to the new Jerusalem, the city built upon the rock, than to dwell in earthen cities fallen on the rocks.
Amen.
To enjoy God, the righteous judge of all, than endure the enemy, the accusers of all.
Come on.
We have to rise up. We have to ascend. The cross of Christ solves every crisis. No wonder the devil hates it so. Mm-hmm. It is easier to bear the cross when you realize it can bear you up. When you feel the weight of the cross, have faith that it will lift you up. Mm. When the world's trials take your happiness, let heaven's cross give you peace. The Lord was crucified on the cross so that the cross would crucify yourself.
Amen.
The Lord surrendered his life and died so we would surrender our life and live. Victory, peace, and well-being do not come from wearing a cross, but by bearing the cross.
Wow, Robert!
Yeah. We got to go out and do something, right?
Oh, my goodness.
You can't truly love God, love Christ and loathe his cross. A life endured with cross pain makes for great gain. Call for action, Coach.
All right. You know what I think? I'm going to send this to Rush Limbaugh's museum. This has been an all-timer here today, I think. Got 4 minutes. Somebody come on in.
You know, Coach, in my area, I noticed that the 45 declared goals to take over America through communism, socialism comes into communism. And I read these goals here, and I see it so domineering.
Yeah, I have the 45 goals as one of the things I was going to talk about today. Isn't that something? And see, hey, Jeff, we can read the signs of the we can't read the signs of the times. We can't connect that mat. We've been here before. Nothing new under the sun.
Hey, Coach. Coach, what Jerry, do we do about Easter? Easter, we have to get rid of Easter just like we got to get rid of Christmas. They're both pagan holidays.
We have to understand what's going on. We have to understand how we're being manipulated.
Amen, brother.
So much of what we believe just is not true. Did you know there weren't three wise men? There were thousands of them. They didn't. Oh, Lord.
They only assumed that there was three because there was only three gifts indicated of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So they only thought three guys were that.
We three kings of Orient. I wonder if we could do a Google search on Orient. I wonder what that would show us. We don't care, right? It was like I picked up the Bible one day, and it's kind of motivated me the whole time that I've been here. Since Judges, I don't know where it is. I'll find it. When it talks about David returning to Hebron, that's what I did. After 30-some years of my life, I returned to Hebron. Because Hebron's significant. In my life, it's significant. Hebron's not significant in Larry's life. Hebron's not significant in Silver's life. Hebron's not even important in Chad Estes's life, but it's important in my life. Right? You with me? And so we can't be so broad and so know-it-all-ish in the things that we've been taught because, guys, a lot of it isn't true. The Bible's true. Teaches commandments, the doctrines of men, making the word of God of none effect. Teaching our kids that the wise men came, but they weren't wise men. They were soothsayers. They were magi.
Coach.
Yes.
It takes only a short while to correct a teaching, but if it's a tradition, it takes a lifetime, a generation. So our generational traditions, the symbolisms, it's like we still put up the Christmas tree for our children because we don't want to take it away. Okay. You know, it's a tradition is like a stranglehold. So if you're Islam, they start these traditions when you're how old? When you're a child. Mm-hmm. So they don't need to train them to fight Christians. They don't need to train them when they're adults. So what you're doing, Coach, is you're helping us unlearn. We're all in a different state, but we're all unlearning what we've been taught.
That's right. I don't know about you, Mark. I just want to know the truth. Because the Bible says that you shall know the truth, and the truth, if you know it, will set you free. Well, I don't want to know something that's not true. It's of no use to me. It's of no use. It's a distraction. It's a distraction. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, right? Where there is no word of vision, the people perish. 2020 vision. That's what it's all about. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.